He's the chief sports writer at the Sydney Morning Herald. It's Wednesdays with Andrew Webster.
And an extended remix version of Webby today. Oh, we're going the distance.
You poor people.
We've got you for an extra 15 minutes or so.
Unplugged.
Every time you come on, people say, can't Webby stick around? And I say he's left the building with a vapor trail and invoices falling out his back pocket.
Just to clear, that's not me vaping, by the way.
That's you in the whirlwind.
That's me just...
That you leave.
Off to chase down... rugby league jibber. I couldn't even get it out.
Well, it's the gift that keeps on giving and regurgitating.
It does.
And regurgitating. Let's talk about Origin first up. So Sunday night, Origin, we know. Reece, I'm fascinated by this Reece Walsh discussion. I'm fascinated in the factors. Since when can everybody have an opinion about a selection and start to talk about whether a bloke should be there or not because of his well-being? Surely if the coach wants to pick him, they can pick him.
They can pick him. I suppose the big picture question is whether it's the right thing to do and whether Queensland should crucify him on its biggest stage. You know what? I'm a little bit torn on it. I actually see Phil Gould's point and that of others that there is a bit of a welfare issue in letting someone whose first game of senior football was only Anzac Day. When you put it in those terms, you think that wasn't that long ago. That his first senior game was only a few months ago, and now he's going to be playing fullback at a packed Lang Park, Suncorp Stadium, whatever you want to call it, in a must-win match for the Maroons. I think kids are different these days.
Yeah.
I really do. They just don't seem to have that fear factor like they used to. And I thought the comments from Nathan Brown, the Warriors coach, after speaking to Paul Green, the Queensland coach, were encouraging that he thought he could take it. I think it's madness. I do. I think it just shows you exactly where Queensland are at in terms of what they have to pick and who they have to pick for this must-win game. That said, they've got two players out. They've got no Brimson and before that Ponga because of injury. So that makes it much more difficult task for them. But yeah, he's the big storyline on Sunday night.
So he's only played the 7 games. His first game in the NRL was a 42-20 flogging by the Storm. So that was back in round 7. He's only won 2 games since he's been part of the NRL for the Warriors. So if you can handle a 42-20 flogging in your first game, what's the difference between State of Origin if they get beaten again?
In terms of what it's going to do to your confidence.
To your welfare.
Well, because it's such a big game. And it's a must-win game.
Yeah.
But, you know, I watched that Warriors-Newcastle game very closely. I watched him very closely, like a lot of people, on Saturday to see, you know, just to really focus on this kid and how special he is. And if you've been watching him play, he's got some amazing touch. And reminded everyone who's a Broncos fan the insanity of them letting him go. That said, he had errors in his game, you know, on Saturday against the Newcastle Knights. The pressure that's going to be put on him by New South Wales, and Brad Fittler's already come out and said it publicly, is going to be immense. So if you're going to make a debut as a Queenslander, you probably want to do it in front of a partisan crowd at Suncorp, but yeah, the acid's on him.
He didn't seem as though he was particularly bothered about the selection. He got the call while he was at the movies.
At the movies. As you said, with his missus.
With his missus, which is great. He's only 18, but like you say, these guys are different.
They are.
The youngsters at the moment, we sound like a couple of old clucks, but the youngsters at the moment, they do think differently. They're not fazed by the occasion. In fact, they probably enjoy this occasion more because they're in such a rush to get there. Yeah. He'd be sitting there thinking, I want to play Origin when I'm 20.
I sat down with Sam Walker after he made his first grade debut, and it was like I was talking to a bloke who'd been in the NRL for 10 years. Young players are just different. They don't get wide-eyed like they used to. But again, Origin's another step up. There's a difference from playing your first NRL game to playing your first State of Origin game. But it's a fascinating contest. I wrote about it earlier in the week. Like, I've seen this movie before where Queensland have been completely written off, $4 with the bookies. They've got injuries. There's no chance. New South Wales are just going to go up there after a big win in the first game and just get the job done and win the series up there. So they've been up there. They've on 9 occasions, New South Wales have won the first game. On and no, sorry, after winning the first game, on 9 occasions they have lost the second game, 7 of those at Suncorp Stadium. So I don't think it's going to be as easy as many people predict. That said, in the past, Queensland have had the likes of a Cameron Smith or a Billy Slater or a Jonathan Thurston, and before that a Darren Lockyer, and before that a Wally Lewis or whoever to turn it around. In that team, who have they really got? They've got Cameron Munster is their absolute out-and-out superstar. He's not going to have two quiet games in a row like he did after the game in, like he had a quiet game in Townsville, as we all know, and he's got to be better, and he said that publicly himself. I just think it's going to be tighter. I think there's a lot of focus on Jared Sutton and how he controls the game and whether that ruck will be as quick as it was in Townsville. I know it was a faster surface and Suncorp can get a little bit of dew on it as opposed to the far north of Queensland. But it's still considered a pretty fast track. But if there's acid on the referee to slow down the ruck, that's going to hurt New South Wales because they just ran Queensland off their feet.
You've got a reason, though, that New South Wales aren't going to get any worse. If anything, they'll probably get better. Now, there might not be 50 points on offer, but there's still plenty of points in that Blues lineup, plenty of points. Mm. So they're looking at, you'd have to put at least 30 on the table, I'd say, for New South Wales.
That's the norm.
Right.
That's the norm in rugby league at the moment.
That's true.
Sorry, 50 is the norm.
That's true. So my question is, where does that come from Queensland? Where do they find 50
points? That's the question. I don't know. They're going to be better with Papali'i and Welsh fit and healthy. They're going to be better in the middle, but I think Papali'i is a big inclusion because of the offloads and he gets that second phase play, which is so vital in the modern game. Andrew McCulloch, of all the former players and the greats that I talk to about this game, Andrew McCulloch is the puzzling question mark for a lot of those experts, why he was included. He's, you know, whether why Hunt wasn't there, whether Paul Green obviously starts with McCulloch and then brings Hunt on after 20 minutes, but you need to be getting through the middle there almost from the get go in the current climate. So that's going to be interesting how that plays out. But again, we've all been hurt before in this state. We've all said before, and Maddie, I go back to 2017. When New South Wales won the first game, somehow lost that second game, and I think I said it on this show last week. I remember being there and Boyd Cordner in tears in the rooms afterwards because it was the one that got away because Jonathan Thurston had done his shoulder and they weren't running at him. But there was still this unbelievable belief in the lead up to game three that New South Wales was just going to go up there, bang, 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 and get it done. And I remember Cameron Smith had been hugely criticised for not running the ball enough in game three. And I remember walked down Caxton Street to the ground just to get a sense of the atmosphere. And there was this whole pessimism around the Maroons. And I'm looking at the betting market and they're blowing even further. And I was like, oh, this is, I can just see what's going to happen here. Cameron Smith started running the ball from the first set and they won and won easily. Mm. And I've talked to Freddie about it over the weekend. And he said that was what, after last year, he said that winning an Origin match is almost harder than when you lose an Origin match. How you handle that, how a team handles the psychology of it. Here's Bennett in the dressing rooms after that game 2 loss in Sydney last year, laughing with his players. And they come out, bang, 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 and win Origin 3. So I think that, Freddie has been more conscious, or certainly, yeah, we'll address that with his team this week.
I heard Michelle Bishop on Jared Waitley's show as I left here yesterday, and she was reporting from up there in Blues camp, and she spoke about how thorough and full-on the training session was yesterday. So Freddie certainly got them on their toes. The other thing that I saw last night in an interview with Freddie was that he hadn't seen Tom Trbojevic on the training paddock yet because Dez, I don't know if he was joking, but I think he was serious. Dez has said this is when you can train him and this is when you can't. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't heard that. I actually interviewed Tommy yesterday and he didn't, on the phone, he didn't mention it at all.
Yeah, no, Freddie said it in an interview on camera. We'll find
I've got to talk to Dez today. I'm going to check it out. Dez, are you trying to tell Brad Fittler how to coach?
Well, he said it with a straight face.
I tell you what Tommy did say, and I've spoken to Freddie about it as well. Freddie doesn't overcoach his players in Origin. He just lets them sort of take control. And definitely what happened in game one. He lets them, you know, leaves them to their own devices. I'm sure Dez isn't necessarily like that so much at club level.
Is Jai Arrow crook? Does he turn up in the Ambo driven by Gilly?
Honestly, you could set your clock to this stuff, couldn't you? Oh, Gilly, even with the same drip. Intravenously.
You're an ideas
fluids.
Man. Am I? Can you please come up with something?
Do you really want to know my ideas?
Can you please come up with something different for Queensland to roll out? Can you go up there and say, hey, Paul, this old hat trick, we've fallen for it, we've seen it.
Yeah, have you looked at your team? You're underdogs anyway. Have you seen the market? You don't need to do it.
Can you come on the text line, Paramat says, Matt and Webby, I've missed the latest news, but is Jai Arrow in intensive care on a respirator with a priest standing at the end of his bed reading his last rites? I'd be disappointed if that's not the case today, a few days
exactly.
away from
It's like a scene from The Exorcist. His head's spinning, there's green vomit. Very, very... He's doubtful.
He'll come out and have a blinder. 0457 736 736 is our text line. Andrew Webster is with me, the chief sports writer of the Sydney Morning Herald. We're doing Wednesdays with Webby. And Andrew Webster, the extended version today. Oh, that sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Matty, ask Webby if he knows what's a shoulder charge or not after Ravalawa's suspension last night, because, says the Pearl, I obviously have no idea.
Pearl, you're not alone, because I woke up this morning to, would you believe, an email from a very angry reverend from the Uniting Church who said, quote, where is the outrage on this decision? Utterly disgraceful. And then we've gone back and forth and he doesn't understand what a shoulder charge is either because of what's happened to Ravalawa.
This is a good reverend getting in touch with you.
But I love how he said at the end of every email, God bless. I need it, Reverend. I need it. I need all the help I can get.
I was wondering when you saw that from the Reverend.
Oh, I didn't know what it was.
Was there a bit of trepidation when you went to open that email? Yeah.
The big fella upstairs, he gave up on me a long time ago. No, look, it's the problem with this decision was that he had priors, as we know, from earlier in the season. So that's why if he rolled the dice at the judiciary, he was going to cop a lengthy ban like Luttrell did a few months ago. under the technical laws of the game, it's probably what they call a shoulder charge.
Oh, yeah.
Is it a common sense decision? Well, there hasn't been a hell of a lot of common sense in rugby league for a long time.
I mean, you go back to, you know, technically, well, you said his problem was loading, but his problem was that was a shoulder charge. The problem that everyone else has is that it's not a shoulder charge intended
to drop the traditional shoulder charge where correct. You drop the shoulder into a Sonny Bill style circa 2005. That's a four. It's not that type of
so if you go
shoulder
in,
charge.
If you go in like that, you're going to cop it.
Yeah.
And if you go to the judiciary with loading, which I don't know where everyone sits on that, but it's bloody complicated, is that you're going to cop a ban.
The problem with Ravalawa is that it's one of those ones where in a split second a defender has to make a move and make a decision. It's a bit like the head high crackdown. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you know, you've got yourself in that position, but it's hit his thigh.
Yeah.
You know?
But why does he need to go in like that anyway?
Well, that's what I mean, though. But when things happen so quick, though,
yeah,
and you're changing direction, and under a game that's getting quicker and quicker and quicker, that's what happens.
So four matches out for the Dragons winger. I take my hat off to the Roosters for going in there and fighting this fine for CSC Waitakiaho, cleared of a grade one careless high tackle for that shot on Nathan Cleary in round 15. I went through this on Monday morning. It was stupid. The decision that was taken, it was crazy that it ended up at the judiciary. It was going to be, what, a $1,350 fine?
No, it's a $1,700.
Right, it's peanuts, so but the Roosters went out there and said, stuff this, this is madness, we're going to take it on, and the outcome is that.
I love that they just spent that amount of money. I'm assuming Nick Gabar, the Perry Mason of the NRL judiciary, who would have charged like a wounded bull. They've gone there and fought this on principle to make sure they didn't have to pay a $1,700 fine.
Good.
But if they'd lost, it was guilty at the judiciary, would have paid $2,250.
They weren't going to lose.
What is this craziness? What is this madness of where, like, that's ashtray change for Nick Politis. And they're like, I know that they're doing it on principle, but the NRL's getting is all concerned about player welfare and about the, you know, with the head high cracked down and sending the right message to the kids and the children and worrying about players in later life. If they're fanning him about head highs, surely the punishment has to be more than a bloody fine. But we're not there if he doesn't get sent off to the sin bin in the first place after what happened, what we all saw was Nathan Cleary slipping on a wet ground at Penrith Park. For the love of Jesus H. Christ, Reverend, do something about it.
Can you ask the Reverend about that?
It's madness.
it's crazy. And that's why I'm saying good on the Roosters for doing it. It makes no sense to go out there and do it. However, here's one for you.
Yes.
You know, if you lose your court case, you and I go to court and I lose the case and I have to pay
costs.
Your costs.
I don't actually know that. Does the NRL pay the cost to the... I don't think so.
I'm just saying.
That is a bloody good point.
If you're the Roosters, wouldn't you go out of the hearing, you go right next door, you tap on the door and say...
I never considered that after all these years of covering rugby league judiciaries. Have you ever been to a judiciary hearing?
Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of time there. But
I don't cover them like I used to, but...
Exactly.
That's like a court case.
Yeah.
And the incident's on a huge big screen. I think I've said it on Matty Johns' show, but it's worth saying again. I remember being there the night that James Graham got suspended for the bite on Billy Slater's ears. Now, the Bulldogs were trying to claim that he did not bite Billy Slater's ear. We watched, I reckon, about 50 replays of James Graham biting Billy Slater's ear from a variety of angles on a huge, huge screen. I remember seeing Des afterwards. He goes, "So what'd you think? That's a disgrace." And he said, "Oh, well, Des, I don't know what I can say, mate. I think you bit him."
I like the fact, and I haven't been to one for ages, and I go back to the Phillip Street ones where we used to have to go out there, and I found it fascinating that you got in there and they are baffling everybody with BS to try and...
Get off it. And that is a very valid point that you make, though. Why does the NRL not pay costs?
Well, what was it? $1,750? That was going to be the fine? How much do you reckon the legal was costing? A fair whack.
I loved how it's funny. I'm working on a book on the SCG at the moment, and we're going into World Series cricket. I was going through some research yesterday about it. So they had to pay back in the 70s, the ICC, when Packer took them to court to try and get World Series cricket going. They had to pay costs of $410,000.
Back then
in the 70s, in 1977, which would have been a good
whack. To Packer. Because he needed it.
Because he'd been burning cash trying to get it going. Incredible.
Wow. Mm. Well, there's one to pose. Next time you're speaking to headquarters, why don't you ask? What happens? What happens when you lose the case as silly as that? So that's the weirdness out of the judiciary last night. I reckon I'm right on the fence with the Ravalawa one. I think, you know, if you're going to throw yourself into a shoulder charge like that for no reason, there was no reason to do it. His arm did come around, but a shoulder charge is a shoulder charge. What's the ref meant to do?
Yeah.
And then if you do front up to City Hall and you've got priors, you're going to have to expect a whack. However, the right outcome with Siwa. We need to take a break because the news is approaching us. Keep your texts coming, 0457 736 736, or I can open the open line, 1300 01 1170. Ooh. Thank you for that, Celeste. More news coming up at the top of the hour. We've got Webby for a little bit longer today. We just thought we'd call in some overtime so you can leave another invoice on your way.
No.
Come on, you're good at it.
I don't get paid for this, mate.
This extra 15 minutes. Is this pro bono?
A servant of SEN.
Is this a is this
Craig
a favor?
Hutchinson of you?
Yes.
Of Matt, the producer.
Yep.
Tommy's a producer.
Matt's in charge of the buttons.
Panel operator. Matt, what is your official title?
Can you turn him off?
I am panel boy.
Panel boy.
And occasional voiceover man.
Yeah. Oh, right.
You'll hear him. You listen out, you'll hear him on the network. Kira from Toon Gabby has given us a call. You like how I did that? Kira. You've got to roll your R's. Good morning.
It's Kira.
Oh, at least I got the R.
That's
right.
All right.
Good on you, Kira.
That's all right.
What would you like to say, mate?
So talking about how you guys were talking about the judiciary, how players, you know, high tackle, get suspended or fined, whatever. What about if the refs make a wrong call? Do they get a fine? Do they get stood down for a match? Because I think there was almost an identical situation from last year with Addo Carr, the Origin, getting taken out by Corey Allen. and the game on Sunday with Parramatta and the Bulldogs. So there was a penalty try on the Bulldogs, but there wasn't a penalty try in the Origin, and they were pretty much taken out without the ball in a try-scoring situation.
Yeah.
So what was the difference between them two, and why aren't the refs accountable for wrong calls?
Oh, I think they are to an extent. Graeme Annesley, now that he's doing these briefings on a Monday morning, is calling out, you know, situations where he thinks they've got it wrong. I think we've seen referees drop before. I think we've seen bunker officials drop before early this year. It happened a couple of times. We saw it after the incident with Hutchinson and Dylan Brown. But there's only so many good referees to go around.
And I think the answer to that too is if we start fining referees for every bad call they'll make, we won't have any refs. Because we've got to accept that they're going to make wrong calls along the way.
Now, I'm not saying they're doing a bad job, but they maybe actually might not call things that they're 50-50 with.
I thought the situation on the weekend during the Dragons Bulldogs game where Grant Atkins was overruled on what he thought was a professional foul on Philip Sammy from Philip Sammy, and he wanted him to be put in the bin, and from the Titans game, Titans Manly game.
Yeah,
I got my games mixed up. Where he wanted Sammy put in the bin, and he got overruled by Ashley Klein in the bunker. That's crazy. I think Graeme Annesley and the commission or whoever's running the game, for God's sake, needs to have a look at how the influence of the bunker on the game, and it seems to just be varying from season to season where the bunker has not enough say or too much say. I'm with a lot of people who believe that it should just be there for try scoring situations. But outside of that, I just don't see why they should be putting their nose into everything, because it is making the game very, very messy and very, very grey.
Good on you, Kira. Thanks for your call from Toongabby. Hey, it's a good thing that Brad Fittler got the team out of Sydney, because Queensland has just confirmed that it will shut its border to City of Sydney, Waverley, Woollahra, Bayside, Canada Bay, Inner West and Randwick residents. So if you're in those local government areas, you won't be going to Queensland. As of 1 a.m, several flights from New Zealand to Sydney have also been cancelled as we investigate this COVID case from Wellington that ended up on a plane. So Queensland's done it again and shut the borders, which means there's quite a few thousand ticket holders who want to go up and watch game two at Suncorp. So
I think 7,000, I heard Ray Hadley say on 360.
7,000, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've made that call there, which means if you have got one of those tickets, what do you do next? And can you try and get out by 1 a.m? That'll be the mad rush.
Smart move from the New South Wales Rugby League to move to Kingscliff in advance and get ahead of it.
But they flew into Coolangatta. Flew into Cooley.
It's the craziness of it. But so much of this. So the NRL announced level 3 restrictions
for players.
For players and officials yesterday. So a lot of it's so much of it's optics, don't you think?
Yeah.
It's optics.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Webby, do you know if all the Blues have to do daily COVID tests given how many live in COVID infected areas? From the Rooster Man, that's just a yes. As soon as they landed, they got tested. I think they're just getting tested every day. Daniel from Adelaide says, I love Wednesday mornings with Webby. I stopped working just so I can listen in.
How good
that today is extended. If the game's fair dinkum about head-high contact, then if a player has sin bin for a high shot, the person who's been hit should have an HIA.
I agree. We're going to go back to where we were last week, Matt, where you and I were fuming at each other over players lying down.
Which was fun.
I agree with you to a point, but the NRL have made a rod for their own back because of the bunker getting involved, as I just said before, in a very convoluted, stuffed up way.
They have. However, you got a chance here, players, to take it out of the game.
Rise above it.
Well, there you go. Sounds like a book. The biggest problem with Ravalawa's case is that the Dragons used Dennis Denuto. He kept saying there it was all about the vibe of shoulder charges, says the Port Macquarie Pearl. Good on you for that. Duckman says, hey, boys, James Graham went with the theory, if you can't beat him, eat him. We're on fire this morning.
This is great.
We are on fire.
Is the text line usually of this quality, this comedic quality?
Only when you're here.
Oh,
people like
good.
Having a laugh.
You know what? Because the game is too serious. You've got to have a bit of a laugh, don't you?
Yes, yes. Skip from Robertson says, Webby might be putting a big invoice in, as he may have just had a couple of strokes. Loving SEN, lad. That was you firing up. As in,
yeah, I was going hard.
He thought that you were going a bit apoplectic. The Brisbane Broncos. So the big news across the week is that Benny Eichen's stepping down at Fox Sports, which he's been fantastic at.
And, he has.
And not to mention that it's a big job. You know, he's from Queensland. He flies down, and it's a big, big job. So I take my hat off to Ben Eichen after 10 years. Tonight will be his final show there. So he goes up there as head of football alongside now Kevin Walters. In the chain of command that has Dave Donaghy.
Is he alongside him or above him?
Well, this is...
He'd be above him.
Well, did you hear Ben's answer to that when Paul asked him the other night about it?
No, I don't watch 360
well,
that
well,
much.
He said, well, what he said was, trying to explain it, was that all this is to be determined when you get your foot under the desk.
What? So, as I've been told, I don't think it's been completely signed off on.
Hey?
I don't think the contracts have been signed yet. I know that was the case yesterday. That's what I got told.
Okay.
But it'll happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, look, so just to the wider issue of what's going on at the Broncos, and this is where you're right. Ben Eichen is a great operator, a great guy. I've known him for a long time. He's one of the good guys of this great game of rugby league. He's very, very smart and quite astute. He's been on the Cowboys board, and he knows the game inside out. That said... The big question mark for me is whether the Broncos need, the Broncos specifically need someone who's never been in that role before. So you can know the game inside out and been around it your whole life, but then when you're sitting in that role, dealing with a salary cap, dealing with player managers who, and there's more of them than ever before, and you're coming into a situation where the salary cap is, to quote himself, disgusting, where it's at the moment in terms of cap management, what some players are on and how much they're going to have to pay other clubs to take players off their hands. That's a big job. And I don't know if you need a rookie head of football in that role. I know Peter Parr, who was very, very successful at the Cowboys, was desperate for the role, I've been told. But they didn't go that way and end up going with Ben Eichen. So I hope it works out for Benny, and I hope it works out for the Broncos, because as much as a Dragons fan, I still think back to the tears that I shed in 92 and 93 when the Broncos beat us in the grand finals. The game needs a strong Broncos. I think it needs it for for the broadcasters. It needs it for the second Brisbane team that's going to may or may not be announced in coming months. But you want a powerhouse like the Broncos going strong.
If it hasn't been happening previously, then surely a new set of eyes is going to be good for it.
Because
they haven't got that right. So a new set of eyes in Ben Eichen and an astute judge that we know, and somebody who's up for the challenge. That's I don't know, Ben. The only thing I've ever had to do with Ben was when he was first announced in that Origin side all those years ago.
95.
And I was down there when he was getting on the bus as a teenager. So
and when Fatty classically asked him, "Who are you?" I'm 5'8".
I remember all that way back. But what I'm seeing is a bloke who's achieved what he's achieved for the last 10 years in the role that he's been in, who has a deep desire and passion for the game and the Broncos.
Yeah, I get that.
And who's up for the challenge.
I get that.
He's clearly up for a different direction.
But have you ever tried to deal with a player manager? With
no.
A lot of them? Signing contracts? That's tough.
Well, it hasn't been working for the Bronx.
No.
And what do you make then of Chris Johns? So the old boys chairman. Anytime you've got an old boys club, I reckon you're in trouble. They're good for organising beers and reunions and have some fun. Should old boys have as much say as what they've had at the Broncos? Because now Chris Johns has resigned from his position in protest over what he says was disrespect, I think the term was, for Kevvy Walters in appointing Ben in this position.
I can't believe it. So the old boys made all this noise about Anthony Seibold. The board actually caved in at the Broncos and makes Kevin Walters the coach, when many people could probably see and were saying privately, and some had the the guts to say it publicly that he's probably not the right man for the Broncos at the moment. They win three games this year. They're on their knees. The old boys whinge about the appointment of a head of football. Madness. I honestly don't get it.
Chris John said, because of my frustration at what I think is a lack of support and respect to Kevvy, we seem to continually spiral down the same drain with the same people making the same decisions.
Well, that doesn't make sense.
Expense.
Dave Donaghy's a new CEO who's brought in a new head of football.
Yeah. Mm. Isn't that support?
I don't know. I don't know how it's a lack of respect for Kevin Walters. What, were they just supposed to let Kevin Walters appoint the head of football? Would Kevin Walters appoint his own boss? Mm. I don't know. I just, yeah, it's they're a mess. They are an absolute mess.
Hey, JS says, g'day, Matty and Webby. Wish we could hear more from Webby about his love for Twitter. Yeah, do you have any Twitter rules? Do you not tweet after a certain time or after a certain tipple?
I don't know. I'd never drink and tweet. Ever.
Just quickly before I let you go, because we have swallowed up a bit of time this morning that you should be doing over there at the Sydney Morning Herald. I know the boss is waiting for you.
I've got a very, very important interview at 10 o'clock.
Well, you've worn a suit in today.
I've got to go in the office.
Right. Okay. It looks fantastic.
Look good.
Horribly out of place in a radio station, but fantastic nonetheless. Just a quick one.
See, you know what? It's the only suit I can fit into at the moment.
There ain't no rule change coming in terms of kickoffs, is there?
What do you mean?
In the NRL, which has been...
Oh, no. So this, let's clarify that. That got floated on Fox last night, that's a possible way to stop the blowouts. And then FoxSports.com picked up what was said on their own network and said that the NRL is considering changing the rules. And then I went, well, hang on, is that right? And then I contacted Graham Annesley, who has confirmed to me today they're not considering it, and they are not considering any more, thank God, rule changes mid-season. That's where it stands as of today. Might change in a couple of days.
Couple of weeks. We have seen it in Super League before.
Mm. They did it in Super League.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks,
this
Matty.
Morning.
Thanks, listeners.
There he is.
Thanks,
Andrew
Matt.
Webster, the
Attaboy.
Sydney Morning Herald chief sports writer, has everything covered. You'll read all about it in the SMH.